Rich Cole. You may also know me as Sven Gulli, and you're listening to the Big Scary News. Isn't most news these days scary?
Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hello, everyone. This is Drew Badger, and this is Big Scary News for episode 321. And unfortunately, yet again, this time we have not one but two sad stories from our own. The first one comes from Blood Moon Manor in Forest City, Illinois. All of us at Blood Moon Manor are mourning the loss of a wonderful friend and actor, Nick Neep, who passed away on Halloween from a heart attack at age 47. We were lucky to have him as part of our haunt family. A genuine person who didn't have an unkind word to say about anyone. He is going to truly be missed by everyone who knew him. Please keep his wife and daughter in your thoughts. The Saw is family. Forever. Rest in peace. Also, Robbie Osborne, the owner of Malice Haunted Attraction in Tennessee, has passed away at the age of 46. He had some major medical issues for a while. Please pray for the family as they go through this terrible time. This man was the definition of a heart of gold. He brightened the room when he was around, and his positivity was infectious to anyone around him. The Big Scary Show sends its deepest condolences to the family and friends of both Nick Neep and Robbie Osborne, and offers up this extended moment of silence. On a lighter note, we have this from Woods of Terror, our fine sponsor, in Greensboro, North Carolina. The bells are ringing, but they're not for carols. Krampus has come to claim the naughty. Step into a winter wonderland of screams, snow, lights, and pure Christmas terror. Forget the cookies and milk. Krampus wants blood and screams. Step into a nightmare wrapped in tinsel as Christmas collides with terror. For two chilling weekends only, November 28th through the 30th and December 5th through the 7th, get your tickets now before Krampus drags you away. Go to KrampusWOT.fearticket.com or visit woodsofterror.com for more. We have an update to Steel City Con coming to Pittsburgh. We have a new guest announcement. Steel City Con is thrilled to announce Cassandra Peterson, aka the one and only Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, is attending Steel City Con December 5th through the 7th. Note, Cassandra is appearing Friday and Saturday only. Get more information at steelcitycon.com. We have this from Fells Point Krampusloft in Baltimore. Calling all Krampus, Perchta, winter and magical creatures. All ages and creatures are welcome to join us at our 6th annual Fells Point Krampuslauf. There will be live music by the Greenbelt Honk Situation, the Hexenbrut Witches Dance by the Emerald Witches of the Green Spire, Creepmas characters from Laurel's Haunted House, close-up magic by Lord Anubis, St. Nicholas, games, prizes, and merriment for everyone. Everyone is welcome to participate or to watch this amazing spectacle. This is an all-ages event, happening Saturday, December 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. Get more information at facebook.com/BaltimoreKrampus. Speaking of Baltimore, we have this from Bennett's Curse Haunted House. announcing Krampus, A Haunted Christmas 2025. The frights return December 5th and 6th, two nights only from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Experience a twisted Christmas nightmare where holiday cheer meets holiday fear. It's a limited time offer, so grab your discounted tickets now before they vanish into the snow. Get your tickets at Krampus2025.fearticket.com. Even more Krampus news, this from the Pennsylvania Krampus Nacht coming to Barnesville, Pennsylvania. It's coming! Don't miss the holiday event of the season, a hilariously horrifying holiday experience. The Pennsylvania Krampus Nacht is back bigger than ever with more games, more entertainment, more prizes, more fun, and more memories. Over 150 vendors have all you need for your holiday shopping in the area's largest alternative holiday market. Get more information at blackrockeventsco.com/Krampus. We have this from Sir Henry's Haunted Trail in Plant City, Florida. Announcing Sir Henry's Haunted Christmas. We can't wait to have some scary fun with everyone this December for our annual Haunted Christmas event. Don't miss this exclusive event that will run for five select nights starting December 5th through the 14th. We'll feature two haunted Christmas trails and our haunted sleigh ride. Tickets are available now. Get more information at SirHenry'sHauntedTrail.com. We have an update to Days of the Dead coming to Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of guitarist Mike Riggs to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Indianapolis, happening December 5th through the 7th at the Indianapolis Marriott East. Mike Riggs is an American heavy metal guitarist best known for his work with Rob Zombie's first two solo albums and is currently working with Zombie again in touring in support of the Great Satan album. Tickets and more info can be found at daysofthedead.com. We have this from the Minnesota Krampus Organization. It's official. The St. Nicholas and Krampus season is almost here in Minnesota. Bundle up and mark your calendars. The Minnesota Krampus Winter Highlight Schedule is live. Get ready to see our Krampus come to life at iconic winter destinations, concerts, and parades. But heads up, event details may change as winter unfolds because neither St. Nick nor Krampus can predict the weather. Check in often at our website, MinnesotaKrampus.com, or follow our Facebook events page for the freshest updates, any schedule tweaks, and to get information on what to expect at each event. Bring your friends, your family, and maybe a little extra courage. Whether you're a seasoned Krampus fan or someone who thinks our scarves are cool, because they are, there's room for everyone on this winter's naughty and nice list. We'll see you soon. By the way, that Facebook page is facebook.com/MinnesotaKrampus. We have this from the McAllen Horror Nights in McAllen, Texas. The Valley's number one haunted house returns December 12th and 13th for two nights with a terrifying twist, A Fright Before Christmas. Step inside our holiday horror house where Christmas meets gore and screams. We flip the haunt into a holiday nightmare that you'll never forget. Get your tickets now at cohorror.com. Also in Texas, we have this news from the Nightmare on 19th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Presenting A Nightmare Before Christmas. Nightmare on 19th Street takes you on a journey through four haunted attractions. You'll enter the park through Mayhem Midway, where ghouls will prepare you for over a mile of scares. Our special Xmas event is one night only, December 6th, from 7:30 until 10 p.m. There's just something about that chill in the air, the lights, and the sinister sounds that make this season special. We'll also have periodic visits from our 9-foot-tall Krampus, a special Xmas photo op, and more. If you love nightmares, you'll love Nightmare Before Xmas. Get more information at Nightmare on 19th Street. That's the number 19th Street. Nightmare on 19th Street.com. We have some more convention news with an update from Days of the Dead coming to Las Vegas. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor Amalie McLean to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Las Vegas, happening January 16th through the 18th, 2026. Amalie McLean is known for portraying the little pale girl from the 2022 hit Terrifier 2. Days of the Dead returns to Las Vegas January 16th through the 18th. Tickets, VIP passes, and vendor tables are on sale and will sell out. Get yours today and more information at daysofthedead.com. We have this from the Christmas to Dismember event coming to Mesa, Arizona. Tickets are now open for a Christmas to Dismember where the only thing getting wrapped up is your sanity. This will be a live-action Krampus, 90-plus horror vendors from across Arizona and the West Coast, tons of photo ops, and our Grand Marshal, Tyler Main. That's right, Michael Myers himself from Rob Zombie's Halloween and Halloween 2. Happening Saturday, November 29th from noon to 7 p.m. at the Mesa Convention Center, it's a small business Saturday, so come support your local creeps. Online tickets are just $10. They'll cost more when you get there, just like therapy. Grab yours today before Krampus repossesses Christmas. Tickets and more info at TerrorTraderEvents.com. We have some news on a Krampus pageant coming to San Francisco. We're calling on the San Francisco Bay Area naughty children to embrace the darker side of the holiday season with the annual Krampus pageant returning to El Rio on Saturday, December 6th. This raucous night of Krampus, drag, live music, and devilish spectacle raises funds for Larkin Street Youth Services, a nonprofit dedicated to ending youth homelessness in San Francisco. In previous years, the pageant has raised over $6,000 to support homeless, LGBTQ+ youth, and this year's organizers are aiming even higher. Think you have what it takes to be crowned the 2025 San Francisco Krampus? Sign up today or get more information at krampus-pageant.info. We have this update from Crypticon Seattle. Our new celebrity guest announcement, Crypticon Seattle is thrilled to welcome back Art the Clown himself, David Howard Thornton. In addition to his iconic performances in the Terrifier franchise, David has also appeared in the 2025 Fangoria Chainsaw winner for Best Public Domain Resurrection, Screamboat, and the recent Ice Nine Kills video, A Work of Art. Come meet David in person at Crypticon Seattle, May 1st through May 3rd, 2026, and join us for a spooky weekend full of celebrity guest interviews, horror-themed panels, filmmakers and writer workshops, makeup demos, writing and costume contests, parties on the 13th floor, special events, and so much more. You definitely won't want to miss our massive vendor room and Artist Alley, so purchase VIP packages and weekend passes now at crypticonseattle.fearticket.com. And finally, we have this from Krampus Night 2025 coming to Bellingham, Washington. Bellingham's favorite holiday bash returns. Join us Saturday, November 22nd from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at the Chuckanut Bay Distillery Ballroom for an evening of delightfully naughty revelry. Delicious appetizers and Krampus-themed cocktails, a live DJ with dancing and a festive photo booth, prizes for best costumes and ugliest sweaters, special guest appearance by Krampus Seattle, they're back to terrify and delight, and an exclusive first chance to purchase this year's barrel-aged Krampus release. Come in your Krampus wear, your finest ugly sweater, or any festive holiday attire, the wilder, the better. Visit ChuckanuckBayDistillery.com for more. Let's raise a glass to the darker side of the holidays. Music, mischief, and mayhem await. See you at Krampus Night 2025. That wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism?
If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home hunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
And ladies and gentlemen, as we wander past Halloween and kind of, some of us at least, suffer from post-Halloween depression and maybe make plans for Christmas or Krampus coming up in just a few weeks, I wanted to take the time to kind of maybe focus on a couple of more unique haunts out there. You know, there's the general overall consensus at Transworld that a lot of people thought this was going to be a down year, and maybe it was for a lot of haunts. I know a couple that it were record numbers. I know some that did terrible, and I think overall the consensus is it's going to be an average, maybe a slightly above average year, but you know, we're not going to get into those numbers or anything at this time, but I want to talk about a haunt that has been on my bucket list for a very long time because it's not filled with clowns and chainsaws and all sorts of, you know, standard haunted house tropes, I guess, if that's the correct word. I am talking about Castle Blood out in the Pittsburgh area, Monessen, Pennsylvania. Very, very theatrical haunt. I've been wanting to go see this thing for a very, very long time, and unfortunately could not get out there this season, but they have an event coming up December 12th and 13th called a Spooky Little Cryptmas, and if you have been going to these off-season events at Castle Blood, you know they center around a central theme, and the pictures I've seen coming out of there have been fantastic, and I thought, man, I need to talk to Gravely Macabre, a.k.a. Ricky Dick, the owner of Castle Blood. How you doing, man?
I am doing okay. It's been enough days to kind of recoup and rest up after the season, and 2 days after we're taping this, we start tearing down the Halloween show and putting up Christmas.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, how was your season?
You know, I got to be honest, with the way I feel the world is going and stuff like that, I was prepared for the worst, but we did okay. Our numbers were a little slightly up, and I was planning and budgeting for them to be slightly down, to be honest.
Well, that's...
So we live to fight another day.
That is fantastic. And you guys have been around a very large number of days. You're in your 33rd year, if my numbers are correct here. For people who may not have been to your place or are very familiar with it, you're outside Pittsburgh. You're in the town of Monessen, but you are not, as I said, your typical haunted attraction. You are, you know, you focus on themes and you focus on costuming and you focus on theatrics. Tell us what makes Castle Blood so different from your average, hey, here's a kitchen, hey, here's the asylum, hey, here's the clown room, etc., etc.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. A lot of people love that.
Being the horror and zombie capital of the world that Pittsburgh has self-proclaimed itself to be, there's 20 other haunts that are all like that. So even back in the 90s when we started, it was like, oh, man, why bother doing that? I mean, we started as a trick-or-treat, you know, home haunt, so it didn't really matter what we did. You know, there were only a few pro haunts around back then, and we could just do whatever we wanted. And it didn't affect business or anything, you know. But then when we went pro, we were like, you know, I think we need to lean into the weird way we do things. And it's more of a storytelling story using. I always say that if you're going to be a monster, if you're going to be a vampire, if you're going to be anything, and you're proclaiming you have these powers, you kind of got to put up or shut up. You know, one problem with a haunt is when Michael Myers chases you and corners you with the big butcher knife, if he doesn't kill you, you know he's not Michael Myers.
I'm disappointed he didn't kill me. I want my money back.
You know, it kind of like, he's got to, they have to get the scare and then get away, then run away, you know, leave you alone, right? Otherwise, he's got no authenticity there. So we figured that by using mentalism tricks, by using magic tricks, other kind of things like that, just overall theatrics and bizarre effects, that we could appear to have these kind of powers and do this kind of stuff. So when the vampire comes up and says, I can read your mind, he can do all that crazy John Edwards nonsense.
Keep it PG.
And make you think that he can read your mind, you know? So it's always been that kind of deal for us. I love the old black and white Universal movies and the Hammer movies and stuff like that, and it was, when we started, it was the age of just coming out of, or into big heavy gothdom and Anne Rice kind of vampires and all that kind of stuff, and being the overdone fancy schmancy costumers that we were, it's like, well, this seems like the way to go, at least it did at the time. So we just went that way with just a heavy overproduced theatrical kind of thing.
Now, were you guys all theater people when you decided to do this? Did you have magicians that came to work for you, and that's why you got into magic and sleight of hands, weird tricks, and reading minds, apparently, and things like that? What is the background, and how did it? Is that how it started, or did it just kind of evolve into this?
Well, it started with performers, professional performers, and we call it variety arts performers. They'd be magicians, stonewalkers, clowns, you know. Everything. I mean, I was a clown, both a hometown clown and a circus clown. One of my longtime actors was actually a Ringling graduate.
Huh.
So we all had these skills, and we were all kid performers. So when we were just a trick-or-treat haunt, it was easy, you know, because we're used to dealing with kids all the time professionally. But most of us did straight magic as well, out of costume, you know, not wearing the rubber nose all the time.
Hmm.
So when it was time to hand out candy, we would produce it. We would make it, we would make them do a little something and let them wave their hand over it and the candy would appear, you know, that kind of stuff. So from day one, we kind of did that. It took us three years before we codified it into the game kind of thing that we do, where we tell you you're on a quest, you have to find three things in the castle. And sometimes, just like all those good sword and sorcery movies of the 80s and 90s, you may have to do one or two things before you get the chance to do the one talisman you're looking for. That kind of stuff. And sometimes it seems like it's a game, and sometimes you're just participating with the actor to make something happen, whether it's a vampire doing magic or whether it's a mad scientist in the lab and you're making something, you know, whatever. So it's just a whole lot of interactive was the old word. A whole lot of immersive is the new trendy word, you know. Mm. And we really have always been that. We have a very slow throughput, so you actually spend time with each of the characters you meet. You don't just walk through the haunt, you know. And we may be a 6,000, maybe 6,500 square foot haunt, but it still takes you an hour to do the game.
You know, this is almost sounding remarkably like the prototype to escape rooms, where you have to solve a puzzle or do this in order to go on.
And all my bestest friends in the industry that are listening to this will maybe remember how they used to pick on me for doing this stuff back in the 90s and the 2000s. And who would ever want to do that kind of haunt? And who would ever want to play games in an immersive-themed environment? So every one of you that has an escape room now, you owe me a dollar.
And you'd probably get like $47 or something. I don't know.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go. But I love the concept. I love the fact that you don't seem to have blood or a lot of it. If you have some, you don't seem to have, you know, your typical, you know, people walking around with, you know, giant swords and giant mallets and things trying to kill you. It almost seems like, you're, like you said, you're telling an incredible story here, and you know, immersive being the word, you really get the audience immersed in what you do.
Yeah, as long as they are open-minded and willing to play along. I mean, that's one thing for sure. It's always been hard to describe this, you know, as much as I'm picking on everybody that does escape rooms. When I can actually use the word escape room now, a lot of people sort of understand, You know, we're kind of dinner theater, we're kind of haunted house, we're kind of escape room, we're kind of everything rolled into one. Even the real immersive theatrical folks that do the online immersive things or the in-person immersive things or like that are all of a sudden finding us and wanting to come see what we do, even though we're a lot more lighthearted than what some of those are, you know?
And ironically enough, your building itself, I believe, has a little bit of history, does it not?
It for sure it does. It was built in 1905 by one of the founders of the city that we're in. But by the 30s, the family had all died out and or left, and it was turned into a funeral parlor. And from the mid-30s until 2009, under four different families, it was an actual working funeral parlor.
Please tell me it's haunted.
Oh, we do ghost hunts all the time, and stuff happens. And even when we don't have ghost hunts in, my daughter, my granddaughters, or some of the other actors get their own little ghost hunting equipment and go through when nobody else is around, and nobody has ever gone away disappointed.
Has anybody ever gone through the haunt in the regular season and said, what was that sound that was coming from that room? I don't remember that being there last year or whatever.
Or like, I was standing up against a wall and somebody pulled my hair or just pulled my belt loop and how did you guys do that? That kind of stuff, yeah, all the time.
That's
why we
awesome.
Started doing the ghost hunts, because to be quite honest, this old building needs constant repair and constant work, and having some more extra off-season shows helps us, you know? So it's like, well, if I'm going to have ghosties in the building, they might as well earn their keep. And we do ghost hunts, I think maybe 2-3 times a year we do them.
Okay. Do you advertise those, or if a ghost hunting group?
Yeah, always on the Facebook page, okay. And then the service we have, it's Whispering Souls Paranormal in Pittsburgh. The people that are working with them have been around for a long, long time.
Well, Meathook Jim from the show is a member of an investigative team. If he was to call you up and say, hey, I'd like to bring my team to Pittsburgh and check out your place, is that something that he could do?
Nope. We have an exclusive contract.
Oh, wow.
We could do it as a special personal private event, which we do all the time. But then it's our people that actually, because I don't know what I'm doing with any of that. I have no clue, to be honest. Because let's face it, every good haunter that's been around for as long as I have could probably fake half of it if they wanted to. So I don't even participate in those because everybody needs to know that I'm not doing it fake, you know?
Oh, very nice.
And but we do private events. So we have had people that wanted to investigate, and I send them through Whispering Souls, and, you know, yes, they got to pay a fee. But then they get personal access to the place. But the other nice thing about that is Whispering Souls doesn't go out and do any other haunted houses either.
Oh, that's nice, too.
It's kind of we work together real well, and it's been very beneficial to both of us.
You gotta love that. You gotta love the history. You gotta love the it's a funeral parlor for real, not just a backstory. But let's talk a little bit about Spooky Little Cryptmas coming up December 12th and 13th. You know, off-season haunts are super big right now, and you guys have had several during the course of the year, and they've all kind of been based around a central theme, so I'm assuming that this Christmas event is also kind of based around this central theme. Would I be correct in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're closing in on 20 years of doing the Christmas show now. But no, that's not true. Maybe 14 or 15. And this year we did a witch background story. For all of our shows, starting with St. Patrick's Day. So this will be the fourth, it'll be the fourth episode in the Witch Trilogy.
Gotta love those fourth parts of trilogies.
Yep, so the first one was just generic. We introduced these three witch sisters, that way we could do the maiden, mother, crone thing. And Summerween in June, we did the maiden. For October, we did the mother. And this one we'll be doing the crone. And it's pretty cool. It's very nice. We also have other witches that are dressed specifically for the holiday. So we have a sugar plum witch, a gingerbread witch, and a candy cane, a peppermint witch. So we have specialty costumes for it and stuff like that. It's a family friendly show. So we don't have the animations or the scare actors getting you. Because it's just so nice that people want to bring the kids, you know, and I don't really want to terrify the kids for Christmas.
Well, like you said, there's 20 other haunts in your area, and, you know, you're known for zombies, so, you know, why not take something that the younger kids can go and enjoy and not be terrified too horribly?
We actually have people that only come to our Christmas show. They don't come to Halloween.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there that don't want to go to a haunted house because they have a preconceived notion, right? So, you know, if I can slowly wean them into it by doing a Christmas show, that's cool, too.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about how it's different from the regular show. Is you talked about, you know, specialty witches. Are you still going to have magic? You're still going to have all sorts of cool stuff?
It's still a game. You still have to find the three talisman. So it's different than all that. It's fun and Christmassy because, well, we're in a big old Victorian building, so decorating it for Christmas is like, you know, slam dunk, right?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Each room is decorated according to what the performer, what that character would sort of want to do. So some of them are a little nice and tidy and really OCD Victorian, be pretty, and some of them are a little over the top wacky because of the kind of character that's working in that room. They all get to decorate kind of how they want it to be or how they think it is, because of course we don't really have many mortal characters, so we're just trying to blend in with the community by doing this whole Christmas thing and figuring it out, right?
Sure.
A little like, kind of like Nightmare Before Christmas a little bit, where they don't really get it, but right, they're trying hard. So you'll still play a game. It's still tied into the other shows this year. If you haven't been to a show at all this year, it doesn't matter. You'll still catch on in about one or two rooms. You'll kind of get the vibe and understand what we're doing and be able to play along no problem.
So when 2026 rolls around, are you going to choose a new theme, or are you going to continue to do like part five of this trilogy?
No, I think we'll wrap up with Christmas, and the plan is maybe to do another overarching theme for the four shows in 26. We've never done it that way. I mean, per se, in some ways the story has been a continuing story for 30 years, you know, because I'm really hard on the continuity and not breaking what things we've done in the past. But it's kind of fun, you know. We kind of pick an archetype maybe for next year, and do that and kind of spin everything and concentrate on that. It'll be interesting to see if we can manage witches. Is kind of easy. Doing some of the other archetype monsters, whatever, maybe interesting to work into St. Patrick's Day and summertime and all that stuff. But I think we might. Yeah,
you have to think about that one a little bit. I was just thinking when you were talking about decorating each room and all that for Christmas. I live in North Carolina. I'm about an hour and a half from the Biltmore, and, you know, they do those giant Christmas tours and all these historical homes. Have you ever thought about opening it up to the public and just showing them what it's like decorated for Christmas with maybe, you know, not even a scary thing, just having some people explaining, like, the history of the building and all? It just sounds like something very Christmassy.
Yeah, I'm not sure we would get many people. I mean, to be honest, the off-season shows help pay the bills, and we love doing them because it's fun and whatever, but they certainly don't draw like Halloween, you know?
Oh, sure.
I mean, other haunters ask me, well, you've been doing this forever. What should I expect if I do that? I go, your big Saturday night is now going to be equivalent to one of your lame Sundays. That's what you can expect.
Nice.
Especially for Christmas, because people have too much stuff to do.
Sure, but, you know, parade of homes and all that kind of stuff, a lot of people like doing that. Maybe you can have a donation.
Yeah, I know. Sadly, in our city, I mean, if anybody had that in our city is an old burned-out steel town.
Ah, I see.
So the downtown area where we are and all like that is not set up for that.
Gotcha. Well, you know, maybe have donation box or something. But that's something you can talk about down the road.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Makes logical sense.
There you go. So tell us once again, give us the who, what, where, when, why about Spooky Little Cryptmas coming in about a month from now.
Yeah, geez, it is a month from now. When they're listening to this, it will be. So yeah, December 12th and 13th, Friday and Saturday. You can buy tickets easily on our website, thecastleblood.com, or go search us on HauntPay that handles all our stuff. And it'll be an hour long, probably about an hour long tour of bizarre Christmas magic and games to play and, you know, traditional ghost stories. And you'll learn about these witches if you haven't been here yet. Because every Christmas show is a spooky little Christmas. This one is the Christmas witches, of course. So, and we're going to kind of do a little bit of the traditional tradition, like, what the heck is the name? Not Bella Fonda, something like that. Just flew right out of my head. The Italian Christmas Witch. She's in, like, actually a character we're talking about in this show. That
I know who you're talking about, but the name escapes me, so.
Yeah, me sure. too. It's only like I haven't written it down three times this week when I'm writing the script for people, but that's how it is. So, yeah, it'll be a nice, fun time. We don't have our scare actors inside their boxes doing all their crazy stuff. And the animations may talk to you, but they're not going to jump out with the air. So it'll be mellow. You can bring families. And you don't have to worry about the kids getting traumatized for Christmas. And, to be honest, most of my actors, it's their favorite show of the year.
Very nice.
Just because it's fun and we can add a little bit silly into it because we're not trying to scare people. And it's really a good time. It's a good time for us and them.
And I'm sure there's snow on the ground and it's just all wintry, wonderlandy looking. Even for a burned out steel town, I'm sure there's still just a little bit of Christmas magic left in Mon Valley.
Absolutely. And to be honest, the Mon Valley here is beautiful if you get just a little bit of snow.
Nice.
Yeah, which we actually did today, actually, or last night. It was snowing some a little here.
Excellent. Ricky Dick is the owner of Castle Blood. Their spooky little crypt mess is going on December 12th and 13th. You can get tickets. I guess thecastleblood.com has a link to it, or go search them out on HauntPay. If I haven't said that correctly, please correct me. But thecastleblood.com will give you all the information you need to know about this very unique haunt.
That is all correct. Everything is correct. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Love to talk to you, sir. I hope to see you at Transworld. I'm sure I will. And we will sit down and chat a little bit more about this. So once again, folks, thecastleblood.com. My name is Drew Badger, and you are listening to the Big Scary News.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out the Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.